the church during the time of Septuagesima changes her attention from the incarnation to the redemption. It is as if she takes our heads and turns them away from Bethlehem and fixes them on the cross of Calvary. And St. Paul wants us then in this epistle to keep our minds on this single work of this life, which is our salvation. He uses the example of the Olympic runners, and this would have been for the Corinthians a very vivid example because the Olympic Games took place in Corinth or very close to Corinth. And St. Paul is pointing out all of the effort that these Olympic stars go through, even in ancient times, in order to have a corruptible crown. They would train, just as the modern ones do, they would train for 10 months previous to the games, and they, during this time, would abstain from anything that would hinder their strength. And they would not eat much, they would avoid rich food, they would exercise at the appointed times, in both heat and in cold, they would abstain from wine and cold drinks and other forms of sensuality. This is just about what modern athletes do in order to perform. And all this for a corruptible crown. They would receive, if they won, not a gold medal, but simply a crown of olive leaves. And the next day, that crown would be dead. And yes, you might say, well, they had all of the cheering of the crowds, which is really why they ran, and that satisfaction to know that they won. But still, that's something that passes away. You could not mention a single man that won an Olympic game. Not a single name is recorded. It has all passed away for all of that effort. And St. Paul gives us this example in order to remind us that we have a prize to achieve, a goal to have, and that we have to pay attention to it. That we have to strive with all of our might. We can't be hesitating and zigzagging and going back and forth, but we have to pursue it with fierce determination, with our eye on victory, that is eternal salvation. In another epistle, he put it this way, forgetting the things that are behind and stretching forward to those that are before, I press towards the mark, to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And he uses the example of someone who beats the air as if in a boxing match. Through lack of concentration, he misses his opponent and loses the prize. Now, what are we fighting against? Because there is a struggle in the spiritual life, as he is pointing out. What are we fighting against? In order to win this prize, our bodies. He says, I chastise my body and bring it into subjection. And by that he means the dragging that the body does upon the soul. And I'm talking not only about sins of impurity, but all of the ways in which the body would have the soul act like an animal. That is what must be overcome in the spiritual life. That is why we have the season of Lent. It is not enough to simply look upon our Lord crucified and to hope in Him. We must also be mortified. We must crucify the old man of sin. And the way we do that is by hardcore mortification. We cannot hope to avoid sin unless we do some mortification, unless we chastise our bodies and bring it into subjection. And that means not only fasting, although that is a wonderful thing to do, and which Lent imposes upon us, but there are also internal mortifications. The mortification of the imagination. What we think. Keeping our minds on the right things. Keeping them away from the wrong things. The mortification of the tongue. The mortification of the intellect, so that we don't think evil of others. Or plot revenge. The mortification of the will. To keep our will fixed on the one single important thing. And not to have it dissipated into many, many things that simply are buried with us when we are lowered into the grave. That's what mortification means. But if we listen to our bodies will drag us through the effects of original sin right down to the level of an animal. And just as you see what animals do, so we would do. If we do not chastise our bodies and bring them into subjection. And St. Paul even mentions that if he did not do this, he would fear for the loss of his own soul. St. Paul, who was knocked off his horse by our blessed Lord himself, who saw him, who was spoken to by our Lord, he says, if I don't do this, I might lose my soul. And the Council of Trent cited this text of St. Paul against the Protestants, who say, you're saved. You're saved as long as you throw yourself on the Savior. Not true. St. Paul did not consider himself saved. For he said, I do these things, lest I be lost. And so this verse, where St. Paul even fears for his own salvation, should give us a holy fear of our own salvation. And we should not lull ourselves into some sort of complacency by thinking that because we have resisted heresy and because we are preserving the faith in times of heresy, we are necessarily anointed to go to heaven. You have a law of God that must be obeyed, just as everyone else did since the beginning of time. And if you don't, and if you die in the state of mortal sin, you will go to hell no matter what great acts of faith you may have made. And St. Paul further reminds us of these realities from an example in the Old Testament. He says, look at the Jews. Look at the 600,000 Hebrews that came out of Egypt. How they were blessed with the fiery pillar and the miracle of protecting them from the Egyptians by the closing of the Red Sea and drowning all of them, and the manna in the desert, and many, many, many other prodigies which God did for them. But God was not pleased with most of them. In fact, we know that only two of the 600,000 that left, and that's 600,000 males, because ordinarily in population they did not count women in the Old Testament. 600,000 men over 20. That's whenever you see population, because they did not count women and children in population. Of all of those, only two made it to the Promised Land. After that grand exit, only two. And the bodies of the rest of them lay rotting in the heat of the desert of Sinai. And why? Because they sinned against their God. And this should give us a holy fear. And today, it is very, very easy to lose your soul, not only because of all of the temptations, and you know those, and I don't have to remind you of those, but also because of distraction. Distraction from the single important goal. The world wastes no time in distracting you. What with television, radio, the internet, your cell phone, where you are torn in so many ways during the day to think about human things, where you are made to account to human beings for your money, how you spend your money, your taxes, and so forth. Everything is human. Your whole life from beginning to end is human. And very little time is given to the thought of what I will do when I die, the moment that I die. And the world wastes no time in telling you how good you should look and how you should lose weight and all of the diets that you should be following, what you should be doing for your health, how to invest your money, how not to. All of these things bombard you during the day, and all of those things will come to naught, to zero, in the order of salvation. There is a single work to be done, and that is the avoidance of sin and the obedience to the law of God. Just as Christmas will come, and just as the baby comes for a woman who is with child, so the day will come just as the sun is rising as we speak. The day will dawn, which will be your last day on earth. It will be your day to die. It will come just as today came. And then what will you do? What about all of that time spent in distraction? Useless things. Keep your mind, and this is the lesson of Septuagesima, on eternal salvation, the means to obtain it, which are mortification of our sinful habits and inclinations. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.